Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, we're taking to the ice. Steve and I are joined by Justin Murphy to break down the wacky world of play-in games. All of the matchups will be talked about, including where we think people will end up, and we'll make some bold and spicy predictions, and probably some boring ones too. Washington, we're looking at you. If you haven't already followed us on the socials, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Comment2. And you can find Steve at SteveSteele23 on Insta as well as on Twitter. You're definitely going to want to add him with all of your spicy takes. It is the most entertaining thing you can do with your afternoon. If you can support the podcast, don't forget to head over to patreon.com/armchaircommentary, where we are giving away Jack Schwartz draft guide for fantasy football as a complimentary gift for any of the tiers. That's right. If you sign up for any of the tiers, which are as low as $2 a month, you can get Jack Schwartz complimentary draft guide. Win your fantasy league this year. So without further ado, puck you. Hockey's back, baby. We did it, guys. We finally made it. In this COVID world, the NBA has started. Baseball's been on for a little bit, despite the best efforts from the Miami Marlins. And believe it or not, holy puck, it's coming back. Tomorrow, August 1st, we're back in hockey, and thought it was only best that Steve and I brought back Justin to call into question my integrity and to talk some puck. So, Justin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I promise I won't question your integrity again.
Yeah, it's fine. It is absolutely fine. So, we actually made it. We're at a point now where the NHL is about to start their play-in, their expanded playoff format. We have four teams in the East, four teams in the West that are playing matchups that don't really count. They're just kind of, I guess, getting some bonus games in.
Exhibition hockey.
Yeah, some tune-up games while everybody else is going to have to try to play to get in to the Stanley Cup playoffs, the official Stanley Cup playoffs, if you want to call them that. So maybe let's just start by talking about where we think the top four teams in the East and West are, and then we can maybe break down the actual matchups that are of significance over the next couple of, for the next couple of weeks at least. So I'm going to start with my least favorite team on the entire list, the Big Bad Bees. And not because they're not any good. I just don't like Boston. Apologies to my girlfriend who loves Boston. Justin, what do you think about the Bruins and their chances? Where do you see them kind of going? And
well, I think we can all agree, all three of us, that we equally hate Boston more than any other team.
It's close, but it might be Pittsburgh for me. It just might be. I won't say Boston. It is. It's Pittsburgh and Boston, and also the New Jersey Devils. But they suck.
Boston has caused me to take personal days at work and blackout and fight people. And
let's be honest, those things would have happened either way. Let's not.
I can't even remember 2013 or 14 or whatever year it was because I blacked it out. But anyway, with that being said, I don't think Boston is going to come out of the East this year, but I would never really bet against them. Their goaltending and that 1-2 duo is great. And, you know, I made the joke a little earlier before we started recording that their first line plays for, you know, $4 an hour and they're the best first line in hockey, making no money. If you're going to give up penalties to this team, you are done, because Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak are going to put that puck in every time. And the Bruins are really the only team in the Eastern Conference that's going to rough you up.
I think Washington still has the potential to rough teams up too, but yeah.
Yeah, the thing with Boston that you can never really count them out, even when they don't seem like they're in business, like they're going to have a down year. They kind of come out of nowhere, and it's either goaltending or you know, someone on the like fourth line that all of a sudden turns into some ridiculous, like goes on a goal scoring tear or
four goals in five games or something. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make much sense, but
their top line is arguably the best line in my adult life. I won't say it's the best line I've ever seen, but it's probably the best line I've seen in my adult life. And I'm old, so it's been a while, but like, I think the only line I could ever think of better was Lemieux, Yager, and Stevens. That's probably the it.
They're up there for sure.
They're right there with them.
What scares me is a guy like Zdeno Chara, who's a game breaker, but just had 4 months off and is pushing 45. Is he going to be effective or is he going to be slow?
As I've discussed on this podcast numerous times, until that man is dead, I am not ruling him.
That's
real tough to go against Chara, isn't it?
He's like the defenseman version of John Wick. He just needs to be killed or he'll kill you. It's just, there's just no in between. Like, it's just.
I don't think any of us would be surprised if the Eastern Conference Finals come down to Boston and, you know, Tampa or something like that.
Well, let's talk about Tampa because they are on that
that list, yeah.
That top four list in the East. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that Tampa is supremely skilled, but they've yet to show me anything in the playoffs of note, at least this group, exact group.
I would bet my life savings, which, believe me, it's not a lot, that they're not getting swept again in the first round.
I don't think they'll get swept. I just don't. I don't know if I would. I still think Washington's a better team. I think Washington's a better team than Tampa, and Boston is Boston. And I mean, there's even if you're talking about the fourth in there, Philly is like a well-rounded team. And it just, I don't know. I look at Tampa and they have all that skill, but where's the team identity?
They're soft. Yes, that's why they lose every year. They're soft. They made it to one final with all that talent. They've made it to one finals. Like Boston has all that talent, but they've been three finals in the last 7 years or something like that, 7-8 years. Like they're always there because they're tough too. Tampa got beat up by Columbus last year, and whoever gets them this year, as long as they're not the Leafs, they'll probably beat them up again. I don't think the Leafs could bust a grape in a fruit fight. So, I mean, but like, you know, it shows the Leafs, but I think Tampa and Toronto are the two softest teams in the playoffs.
One of the big things about, and I think this might turn into the theme of the podcast with all this time off, Vasilevskiy has been known as a slow starter, you know, just like, say, Freddie Anderson. Had a lot of time off. Is he going to be able to be, you know, that 9.30 save percentage, or is he going to be that 9.02 save percentage when we come back? That would make a huge difference. Although Tampa can score like 20 goals a game if they wanted to, I guess.
I think what you're going to notice as Bo Bichette rips a nice double. Let's go. What I think you're going to see a lot, at least in the early round of this, like in this playoff, pre the four teams, is going to be a lot of mental lapses. When you're in an 82 game season and you're coming into the playoff crunch, at that point you're sharp. And I know it's a grind, and I know that those guys are like, you know, they're putting in the work and they get some rest days, but they're mentally prepared. They know what they're doing. They've been in it. We've had all this time off, and now you're asking everybody to come back. And yes, they're going to be hungry for it. And I think that you're going to see a lot of, like, I think the goalies are going to be hot and cold. I think some goalies are going to come in and look all world, and other goalies are going to come in and you're going to wonder who that is. You know, is it, I mean, not that I don't want to do this to you, but like, not everybody's going to be David Ayers. You have one good game, but like, can you do it again? I don't think so.
Was that really payback for me calling out your integrity last time? Did you?
I mean,
you
it might
really,
have been, but
do you really want me to cry on this podcast?
Did you just call him Zamboni driver? I forgot his name. Is that what you just?
Yeah.
Did?
Yeah.
Jesus. But what I'm saying is,
I get what you're saying.
On the other night, by the way, when the Leafs played the Habs, who won? I forgot.
In the exhibition game,
no team.
No. The first hockey game for either team in like 6 months. Who won again?
No one.
Nobody won that game.
The Leafs had the better score.
Yeah.
We were talking before you jumped on, Steve, and it could have been 8-6 easily. Montreal did what Montreal always does. Toronto did what Toronto does. So
I didn't watch that.
Toronto scored goals, did not play defense. Montreal had lapses that cost them the game.
Yeah, but Dave, you really made a really good point about the mental game and the grind, and that's where I think it really affects the goaltending the most, because goaltenders need to get in a groove, and there's no time to get in your groove. You're especially thrown right to the Wolves.
I'm gonna tell you this. I think that the top four teams in the East and West, although seeded better, are actually at a disadvantage, because you're playing. So you're playing these exhibition games where it doesn't really count.
Yeah.
But everybody else is playing games of significance.
You're totally right.
Montreal and Pittsburgh are playing for something. So they're like the edge is turned up there. Everybody's got to want to move on. And yes, there's going to be lapses and things will happen, but yeah. I don't know if, you know, are you going to see Vasilevsky putting on his best performance in a game that doesn't count, or is he going to be trying to rest?
Yeah, that's the tough part, because I think as a coach, I want you to go out there and play your balls off, because you got to be ready for that round. But then as a coach, I'm like, well, you know, Boston already said, well, we're going to start Halak for all these games and rest Rask. So, you know, it's going to be tough. And then you move on to, you know, a team like Washington, who have just been through the playoffs for as long as I can remember. And they're always a threat. And they're a very veteran team, a little bit more so than some others. Can they just turn it off and on like that? Can Ovechkin just go out and score a hat trick in his first game that means anything? You know, it could easily happen. I wrote a bunch of notes, and the only thing I have beside Washington is always a threat.
Well, they are. I mean, yeah. Ovi is Ovi. And Steve and I had a great conversation about Ovechkin doing Ovechkin things. I don't think he needs a lot of time to turn up that shot.
Yeah.
I think goalies need time to figure out how to stop it.
Yeah. I do really think we're going to see a lot of high scoring games in the playoffs, and we're not going to see too many triple overtimes.
Who knows though? Who knows? I'm wondering where your guys' thoughts are on Philly. So the only team we really haven't, we've talked about Washington a little bit there. Steve, you got any more thoughts on Ovi and the Caps? I know that they're a pretty deep team. They're actually my pick to come out of the East.
Yeah, I'm picking the Caps to come out of the East. I'll give you my West pick after, but I'm picking the Caps coming out of the East. I always believe in the Caps. So,
any thoughts on where the Flyers stand, guys? They're kind of the odd man out in this. Like, the other three teams have been, I don't want to say elite, but they're elite for the last several years. They've been kind of the tops, and Philadelphia has been they're not a basement dweller, but they certainly weren't tops of the league, and here they find themselves in a great position. But do you see Philly as kind of a dark horse threat to kind of upset someone?
Couple thoughts on Philly for me is, one, with the reseeding thing, I want Toronto to play Philly more so than I want to play the other three teams.
We were discussing this earlier, like before me and Justin were messaging. He's like, I think Philly would be a good pick, because he sent me a link to like the Sportsnet breakdown of like the top, like the power rankings of the teams left alive. And we were both obviously grievously offended the Leafs came in at 11, FU Sportsnet. But like, we both kind of agreed that Philly would be the best matchup for sure. Like, that would be that got the wood rising just thinking about like winning a playoff series, because then we could probably beat Philly too.
But the only reason I want to play Philly is rookie goaltender. Never been in this playoff situation before. And if they do have to go to Brian Elliott, I have literally no faith in that man ever. So I think we can light them up.
I don't know if that's a great idea. Like, considering what St. Louis did last year, wasn't Brian Elliott his backup too, just to make it worse? Like, I don't know. I don't want to say
it wasn't Brian Elliott, but I do think, well, yeah, no, you're right. I got nothing on that. Right.
Yeah, Bennington last year was kind of like, you know, like turned the whole team around from a joke to a cup winner. Like, you know, the dreams do come true. So I don't know, but like defecating on rookie goaltenders.
But this season, Philly went from like not last place, but, you know, not a playoff team, who near when the season ended, they were about ready to pass Washington for the division lead. So,
yep,
that's another thing. The top four teams in the East are deadly. And yeah, no matter how you look at them, they're deadly.
It's going to break down interestingly for sure in the top four on the East. Before we do our East matchups, because I want to do all our matchups at once. What are you guys thinking about the top four in the West?
Go Vegas. Okay, so I got a reason for that. I know Marc-Andre Fleury's status is a little bit up in the air, and I know that his numbers dropped a little bit, but I'm a huge Robin Lehner fan, and I think that man can take that team with that firepower and their defense right back to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I mean, that team is – I mean, it's not the team that won a couple years ago or got there a couple years ago, but they're still – it's still basically mostly composed of great. They're like a great second line team, top to bottom. Still, like it's just
they might actually they might be better than they were a few years ago. I mean, they added what's his name from Ottawa this season, Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying they suck, or obviously I'm not trying to demean them. But like, I remember when they formed that team, I made the point like that is a. I think it was the last time or one of the episodes we did. Like that was a team full of good second liners. So while there wasn't anything overwhelming about them, they just beat you with sheer. Great yeah. depth, and I think they're still that. So I think there's still a possibility they can do it again. I agree with you
there. I think if guys like Pacioretty can score, and sorry, I think they have Stone, not Hoffman. Hoffman's in Florida, I believe.
Yeah, they definitely got Stone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But like if Pacioretty can turn it on, you know, those guys, those actual second line guys on their team, they can outscore you. And Robin Lehner, I think now that he's got his mental issues and things under control, he can outperform anybody in this league.
Mm. Vegas is a, I mean, when Vegas was drafted, I think there was the chip on the shoulder mentality from a lot of those guys. And I think that fueled a lot of it, pushing their wins and pushing their mentality and pushing their edge. And then you kind of come off of that and now you're like, well, what now? And I think they've really rallied around I mean, they rallied around Fleury, but I think that they've created a good identity as kind of a team that pushes pace. They're not gonna beat you into submission like some teams, but they just play four lines really well. Yeah. They try to get rid of those mental mistakes, but with time off, mental mistakes are always a possibility. So. I have to see it. I think that they probably get through to the, I don't know, the Western Conference Finals. I'm really high on Colorado. I think that they've been close for a long time.
If Nazem Kadri doesn't cross check someone in the face and get an indefinite suspension, I'm going to be very upset. But with Colorado, I like Colorado too. I just is Grubauer, is that how you say his name? Grubauer. Yep. Is he as good as we think he might be? And their defense stats are a little bit misleading because you got a guy like Ryan Graves, who, you know, he's not terrible. Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, shout out. But he also plays most of his shifts with, like, you know, the top line. So his plus minus is enormously great, but he's always on the ice with McKinnon. So if he's not on the ice in those situations where, you know, you're not playing against top forwards, is he really that good? And their defense really scares me a little bit. But
they do have the best goal differential in the West.
Yeah. Nathan McKinnon is he's top five in the game right now, and he could carry a team to the finals easily.
Yeah.
And they're all healthy. Landeskog's healthy. McKinnon's healthy. What's the other guy's name that I can't – Ratton's healthy.
Yeah. Colorado scares me. They're fast. They're still pretty young. I think that they've got a real opportunity here. Probably depend on who they're facing, because there's a couple of teams in the play-in round that I think are a little bit better, but just, at least skill-wise.
It would be nice to see what Nazem Kadri looks like in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. With we Pacioretty turning on the goal scoring, and I was having flashbacks of, you know, 20 game droughts with nothing and then five games in a row.
So, yeah.
Hot many, and cold is not even the word.
Many years I've had him in fantasy hockey, and it's never paid off. St. Louis, I think we can't not give them a shot at repeating. They're just built like your 1976 Flyers or whatever. They're hard-hitting, they can score, they got great goaltending. Again, one thing written by them on my notes, definitely a threat at repeating.
Yeah, I think so. Steve, you You have your pick for the West. I know we still have Dallas to talk about. They're kind
of he just nailed it. I definitely think St. Louis is coming back. I think they're way better than they were last year.
See, I know we underestimate Dallas here, but remember they weren't they one overtime goal away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals last year? Game 7, but they had a rough season. But oh my God, their backup goalie, Carey Lehtinen, has like the best save percentage in the last 50 years. Limited games, mind you, but still over 30.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
Dallas. So Dallas is top four by winning percentage.
Yes, Vancouver had more points, I think, and that's how
Edmonton has one more point.
Okay, it was Edmonton then. Okay, yeah.
But two more games played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dallas, the Western Conference is tight anyway. They were tight the whole year.
Yeah,
the
whole year, except for the three LA teams.
Yes.
Or California teams.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't want to rule Dallas out because they've obviously got some veterans down there that know what's going on. But I think the other three teams, kind of like in the East, are really just superior in a lot of ways. I think the Dallas is a great team. I just don't know if they're good enough to beat out Colorado or Vegas or St. Louis, let alone some of the other teams that they were competing hard against all year long in the Western Conference. You know, Edmonton, yeah. Nashville, Vancouver, all very tough matchups, even though you're a seed higher.
Yeah, I think with Dallas at all, we being on the East Coast suffer a little bit from not really paying attention to a team like that because we have no real connection to them, any of us,
yeah.
Even player-wise. But they are surprisingly a pretty good team. But you're right. I'm not sure if they're going to go to Game 7 of the Western Finals again this year. But, you know, I look at the matchups in the West, and if they had to play like Edmonton, for example, you know, I'm probably taking Dallas in that series. I know that McJesus exists and Draisaitl exists, but I think Dallas is a better team than Edmonton at the end of the day.
I disagree, but I understand where you're coming from.
I'm with you. I think Edmonton's a two-man team, and I don't think there's anything else behind that. Like, those two guys are obviously phenomenal, but beyond that, I can't name five Oilers. But again, I don't watch a lot of Oilers games. But like, if those guys aren't clicking or if the goaltending is bad, Edmonton's going to lose. It's just the way it is.
We'll see how 87-year-old Mike Smith does is really what it comes down to.
Is he their goalie?
Yeah.
See, I haven't followed the Oilers at all. I mean, obviously, Draisaitl and McJesus, as you call them, are like headline grabbers, and they're both up for the Hart Trophy, which seems highly ironic that two guys on the same team could be competing for MVP of the league, but, you know, whatever.
They're not. Oh, Steve, your integrity. They're not both up for the Hart Trophy.
They were being discussed for it. I don't look at the NHL awards. Like, I got better things to do with my life. No one cares who wins those awards other than people that, like, you know, cover hockey for a living.
I'm offended. I care.
Do you really? Who won the Hart Trophy last year?
Who won the Hart Trophy last year?
Yeah.
That was a year ago. That was a year ago, man.
I'm now questioning your integrity, sir.
That's a year ago. Who did win the Hart Trophy last year?
Who cares? The NHL awards are a gimmick at the best of times. Let's just keep moving.
Kucherov, right. And when Matthews wins his Lady Bing this year, I'm going to be posting on Facebook about it.
Yeah, the Lady Bing. Winning the Lady Bing, right? That's like winning a free ticket on a scratch ticket. Like, Jesus.
You know, McGillney won it back in the day with the Leafs.
Yeah, I remember. There's nothing wrong with winning the Lady. There's nothing wrong with winning any award. But, like, wasn't Kucherov the guy in the hotel with the cocaine in the offseason, too?
No, that was...
That was the guy in Washington. Yeah.
Washington, yeah. Kuznetsov.
Yeah. Shows the Kuznetsov. Fuck you.
As if rich white hockey players don't do cocaine. Come on, guys.
Oh, I can tell you some stories that we can get sued. Yeah.
All right. We want to do the East matchups first or the West?
Yeah, let's do the East matchups first.
Let's start with the most boring one. I don't want to take your job as the host, but let's be honest. Nobody cares about Florida and the Islanders.
Yeah, we can talk about Florida and the Islanders.
What do we have to say about this team? Other than the Islanders are extremely well coached, but probably the most boring team you will ever want to watch in your entire life. If you can't name five Oilers, I guarantee you can't name three Islanders.
Hold on. No, I can do this because I looked at an article the other day where they had, like, people were saying the Islanders win now window is closing, but someone disproved it by saying their average age is 28. But then they have, like, Boys and Boychuk and, like, someone else. Oh, God. I got to name five. Never mind. I tap.
I'm pretty sure Brad Boy's retired, but
it was a boy of some sort. That's all I remember was the name.
Barzal, I think you might be thinking
Matthew
of.
Barzal.
I think I covered this one a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago that I do not care about the New York Islanders unless they're, like, putting up all-time great, awful trade and signings.
Just a really funny off-story with the Islanders. The Athletic did a worst arenas in the NHL, like, based upon media. And the Islanders actually had the second last vote and the last vote because they all hate the Nassau Coliseum and they all hate where they play in Brooklyn.
Well, it's Barclays
Center. Barclays Center. So they literally had the two last votes, both of their arenas being the worst for coverage.
Well, just before you answer, Steve, Matthew Barzal and Jordan Eberle and Anders Lee are all Islanders. I can't give you more than that.
Boychuk was right. He had Boychuk right.
I had Boychuk right. Yeah, I remember looking at the list. I remember seeing Eberle and, like, remember when that guy scored a really nice goal in his first NHL shift?
Oh, that Uncle Leo's on the Islanders.
Yes, Leo is, and the goalie is Varlamov. Komarov's on the Islanders. Yeah. He had like 2 points this year. No big deal.
Do you remember when the Leafs bench cut? Never mind, I'm not going to talk about that game. Anyway.
Shut up, Steve.
Try to keep it interesting out here. But no, what was I going to say about the Islanders? Oh, yeah, the Barclays Center. You're talking about the Barclays Center. Yeah, Barclays Center is not built to have host hockey games. So if you look at it, like, literally there's like a giant section of the arena where during hockey games where you can't see. It's an utter disaster. I used to work at a job where I actually had to speak to a guy that worked for the New York Islanders. He was like the head of athletic training. This is about 5 years ago, so he probably doesn't work there anymore. But he did at the time, and it was the year before they were going to the Barclays. So it was their last year in Nassau. And he was explaining to me how the whole team is just miserable at the concept because the place is just not built to play hockey in, and they don't know what they're doing. So that's why I think he no longer works. I don't remember his name now, but I had like a half hour conversation. This is when Tavares was still there. Like, it was a pretty good conversation I had with him, but I always remember he broke it down for me, like, inch by inch, how the arena was a nightmare for hockey.
with the Islanders, Barry Trotz is, you know, world class, one of the best coaches ever, and they play a system. When teams play a system, we all know it's 1-2-2 in the trap. So that's what they do. But then you got the Islanders can score. And Varlamov is a good goalie, and Greiss is also a good goalie. But if Florida doesn't get their $10 million goaltender to save some pucks, they're done.
Yeah.
Florida can outscore. Florida's got superstars. Barkov is going to be one of the top five in the league eventually. But $10 million in their goaltending, and your save percentage is under a 9.3? No, that doesn't work.
I would have the Islanders coming out of that Islanders Florida series. Florida could surprise me. I feel bad for Florida in the sense that they've got a lot of talented players who are just going to not pay a ton in taxes and live in the sunshine. But
I want to contribute to this really quickly. Mm-hmm. I do not care. I care less about who wins this series than who wins the Hart Trophy. That's all I'm going to add to this.
Steve, if all you're going to add is I don't care, then stop adding.
No, I need to make sure that it was less important than the Hart Trophy.
Okay. I actually, Dave, think Florida's going to come out of it because I think they will pot the goals and get some of the goaltending. But honestly, whoever wins, to me, doesn't make a difference. Neither team was really supposed to make the playoffs anyway.
Yeah.
Also, the two of us don't care either. Just saying. Continuing on. Go ahead.
Yeah. let's go to Carolina and New York.
This one's going to be interesting because New York also wasn't a team that was supposed to make it, but the Hurricanes were pissed when they realized that they had to play the Rangers and were really fighting for this five-game series thing because the Rangers have a Hart candidate in Panarin, and at the end of the season, you know, the last Rangers game I can think of, Zibanejad scored 5 goals, and Zibanejad was top 4 in goal scoring when everything ended. Those two alone can win a series, and I don't think Henrik Lundqvist is going to be their starting goaltender. They got two kids that are just better.
Damn.
New York could be a surprise team out of this.
New York could really be a surprise Eastern winner. I totally agree with you.
It's scary. The Canes are good. I mean, they've got Aho, and they've got some other guys that are going to score goals.
Yeah, they got David Harris on their payroll, so, you know. Yeah.
I don't know about that, but let's put it this way. They were a six seed. They probably play like a six seed.
Yes.
They weren't. I don't know if they were going to kind of come out of anywhere and threaten anything, but with the way that this is going, if New York comes in, they're hungry, they've got an opportunity to take a series from someone who was supposed to be in there, and they weren't supposed, they were a lottery team. I mean, New York's going to take that chance, and I think that they may be hungrier for it. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out. I feel like the teams that were seeded to be in the initial, like the original should be playoff teams. Yeah. I know a lot of them were pissed off. I know Pittsburgh was pissed off. I know Carolina's pissed off. You're playing teams that you shouldn't have to play to, you know, move on.
My thing with Carolina and New York, though, is I truly believe New York was going to pass them in the last 11 games and Carolina was going to be on the outside. New York was on a tear.
Steve, do you care more or less about who wins this series than the Hart Trophy?
Yeah, I think you got to care about the Rangers at least. Like, I mean, Carolina's existence still offends my very core. No offense to anybody in Carolina.
Shout out Hartford Whalers.
Yeah, exactly.
There was that year that the Rangers made sure. Actually, I think it was the same year. I try to forget where the Rangers made sure the Habs didn't go to the finals. So,
no, I think that was a year later. But no, like, I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes should still be the Hartford Whalers. I still find it the greatest slight to my like hockey fandom, which is been fading for years, was when I had to watch them win a Stanley Cup. Go Rangers. Totally pulling for the Rangers. I don't like this talk of like slander on Henrik Lundqvist. I'm a huge fan, although I know he is entering the twilight.
Oh, don't take that as slander. I'm a huge fan too. I just know they got two guys that are better right now.
They've drafted well and developed their goaltending.
Yeah. I like the Rangers personally. Like, it's probably the only New York sports team that I actually like really, I don't mind the Mets, but otherwise, yeah, I think they're like my favorite.
The biggest X factor in this series to me is Dougie Hamilton's not going to be playing for the Hurricanes, and they have a good solid defense, but he holds it together. He's great.
Yeah. You need that. I think you're going to need veteran leadership, especially people who have had even like limited playoff experience. I think that that's going to be critical for especially bubble teams
going
forward.
I just wish we had Dougie Hamilton in the playoffs, because that might have been, but whatever, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, he could have been ours.
All right, Pittsburgh, Montreal, probably the most upset team versus the team that did not expect to be playing in the playoffs.
The team that does not, one of the teams that definitely does not belong in any kind of playoff.
Definitely doesn't belong.
So 24th of the ranked 24th teams would be Montreal. So we'll just call them last in this instance.
Yeah. Their rank is the amount of cups they got back when there were six teams in the league. Let's just keep moving.
So Pittsburgh looks good.
Yes.
Healthy. But Montreal always has scary price. Montreal won't win this series because they don't know how to score goals. I love Montreal, but they can't score. There's no one to score.
Montreal won't be able to stop Pittsburgh's offense with Gensel back. However, like you hit it, you said two words, and you're right, scary price. Could steal this.
Hold on. Let's be fair here, though. Like, I'm a huge Carey Price supporter, so I'm not going to sit here and slander the man. But Carey Price hasn't exactly been, like, well, how do I say this? I'm trying to think of a goalie. Like remember Jonathan Quick in the playoffs for a few years there where, like, he just would come alive? Carey Price has never – I mean, he was pretty good the year they got lost to the Rangers in the conference finals. I'll give him that. But I remember Carey Price losing his job come playoff time one time. And I don't think Price has ever – I mean, God knows the poor Habs never make it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't think Carey Price is that excellent a playoff performer. I don't remember that being a narrative. I know he's an excellent regular season goalie that gets the Habs to the playoffs almost single-handedly a few times, but I don't think he's –
Well, think Carey Price – Dave, maybe you can correct me here, but I don't think Carey Price ever lost his job in the playoffs other than when Kreider knocked him out that year.
He lost it.
Chris Kreider is forever on my shit list for going skate first into Carey Price.
Okay, so allow me to do some history since I went to a playoff game that year. Carey Price lost his job three-quarters of the way through the year to Yaroslav Halak, and everyone – the whole city went Halak.
Yes. And they were thinking about – trading Price.
Yeah, but he was too young at that time. He was very young, but like there was a lot of things going on with Carey Price in Montreal back then that I won't get into that he's obviously not partaking in now, which were also – he was not a popular guy in Montreal at all back then. But like
With Carey Price, he's had his issues, and he has still has his issues, and he's goddamn streaky as hell. But the team in front of him doesn't help him much. But if there's any guy that can go in there on a hot streak in five games and win a series against a team Montreal kind of historically does well against – it's Carey Price.
I have a hard time betting against Skid the Kid. That's
right. Oh, yeah. I think Pittsburgh wins 100%, but I'm not going to be – I would be more shocked if, you know – no, I don't know. I'd be more shocked if Arizona won something than if Montreal beat Pittsburgh.
I mean, here's where we'll go. Last time we kind of touched on this. We all kind of agreed that Montreal definitely is the threat that shocked the shit out of everybody. But I don't see it, but I would love to watch it happen because I already said Pittsburgh is one of his favorite teams. So go Habs go, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that the only way it happens is healthy Shea Weber and Carey Price doing Carey Price things.
Has Shea Weber played? Like, is he, like, I'm assuming he's going to play. He's been off for forever, hasn't he?
Yeah, he played the exhibition game, ripped a couple bombs that went wide, but didn't he also, like, kill one of his teammates in training camp?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Shea Weber's committed murder, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, one of the rookies in training camp there, he hit in the mouth with a shot. It wasn't a guy that was going to play, but, yeah, he definitely hit a guy in the mouth.
Rule of thumb when Shea Weber has the puck, don't get in the way. it's just a bad decision. They've got a lot of problems, and the reason that they've got a lot of problems and they don't belong is because they're not a complete team. They don't have all of the pieces to be where they're supposed to be competing for a cup.
Correct.
I mean, we have seen stranger St. Louis, who was built very well last year, had to go on an incredible run to even make the playoffs.
Yeah, they went from last place to first place.
Strange things happen all the time in hockey, so I will never rule it out. My personal opinion as a fan of the team is very conflicted because I'd really rather us have been in the lottery and trying to pick Lafreniere and try to get something like build for the future. But instead, as I mentioned the last time Justin was on, maybe offline, but Montreal typically does this where they will win enough games to put themselves out of a reasonable draft position, but not so many games as to win the whole damn thing.
But you do know that if Montreal loses, the draft this year is rigged for them to get the first pick, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Good. Glad we got that in the open.
Yes. And it should be. French-Canadian playing under all the pressure. Don't worry. He'll be a bust. If he goes to Montreal, he'll bust.
He's another small winger, and you guys need that big center that you've been lacking.
We need more small wingers. That's all. I don't know if you know this. We're very good at drafting small wingers.
Yes.
And then lastly, in the East, Toronto-Columbus.
Yeah, this obviously all of your listeners know I'm a diehard Leafs fan, and Columbus is the absolute worst team we could have matched up against in the first round because they play the 1-2-2 trap, play along the boards, and hit hard. And we try to skate up the middle, throw long passes up the middle, which has clogged the neutral zone by Columbus because Tortorella is a great coach. We should beat Columbus, but we can't be throwing bombs up the middle from our icing line to their blue line, and we need to stay away from the boards and their forecheck. They can't score at all.
Well, they lost some of their goal scoring, right?
They lost every, like, they are the lowest scoring team in the playoffs, I believe. The games they win this year were 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. They have miraculous goaltending from two guys we've never even heard of.
Elvis Merzlikins.
I wanted to say his last name, but I couldn't even begin to pronounce it. Plus the goalie that he filled in for, Kopasalik? Kopasalik was lighting it up as well.
Resident expert came in here, can't pronounce anyone's names. I love it.
It's true.
I love it. I'm not mad at you. I can't pronounce them shits either, but I just think it's really entertaining hearing you struggle with it.
Oh, my God. I don't even try sometimes because it's not worth it. But, remember back in the early 2000s when the Leafs would meet the Devils in the playoffs and we'd have like 9 shots in game 7?
What?
That's how this could go.
Why do you bring that up? Like, it was six shots, and I no.
That's how this series could go with the way we are coached to skate through the middle and the way Columbus will be clogging up the neutral zone. That's all I want to say about this series. Go Leafs, go. Please go Leafs, go.
Yeah, like I can't be Tampa this year. I can't lose to Columbus. Like I can't live with that. Like I generally check out on hockey the moment the Leafs get eliminated anyway. So like I'm trying to invest and I'm trying to get in there for the sake of the podcast. The Leafs gotta win. If the Leafs do not win this series, do not even approach me about the topic of hockey.
The only thing that made me happy about the exhibition game was Freddie Anderson didn't get blown out again. A career slow starter. That gave me confidence that he might not let in seven goals a game against the Columbus
Jackets. Oh, he was brutal in the scrimmage footage that was coming out, though, back before the exhibition game. Oh, my God. Oof. Oh, man. I was going to call for the backup, but we all know the Leafs and backup goaltenders don't exist.
Dave, as a Habs fan, who are you taking, Columbus or the Leafs? Be honest. Don't kiss our ass.
Yeah, we don't need
okay,
that.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think this is probably the toughest matchup to call out of the East. And I think Toronto's goal scoring should have it. But Toronto also has a history of not winning games that they should.
Yeah.
They went on a for as talented as they are, they had a really awful stretch earlier in the year. And it's just a lot of bad taste kind of left.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I think that the Leafs should win this series. And as much as I am not a Leaf fan, I would love for the Leafs to actually put it together and make a run, make a legitimate run here. But I just don't know if it's there. Every time I watch them, I'm like, all right, and Auston Matthews is going to try to be Ovechkin, and he's going to score the goals, and he scored the goals. And then everybody else is dangling everywhere, and you see some incredible games.
Yeah,
I don't know if I see enough consistently to say that they're going to win the Cup. So I'm picking Toronto to take this series, and then we'll see what happens after the reseeding.
It all comes down to defense. We are offensively gifted, minus our power play for some reason. We've had the same setup in power play for 3 years or 2 years since we got Tavares, and it doesn't score. And this could come down to special teams, and if our power play doesn't score, that could really hurt us because we should have the best power play in the world, but we don't.
Our power play was thriving, though, after...
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was converting almost around 30%, 26% or something like that, wasn't it?
They said the stat the other night, we had scored three power play goals in the last, or five power play goals in the last 20 games of the season this year. That's not good.
Okay, my bad. I thought we were doing better.
The format that we set up in with Tavares in the center there where Kadri used to play in the middle of the ice, it's just predictable. We know exactly what's going to happen, and teams just know it too. But
see, what you need is we can trade you Shea Weber. You need that boomer.
We do need that boomer because Barry and Riley don't have it.
Oh my God, the Leafs' power play is so ridiculously predictable when you watch it. It's actually hurtful.
Yeah.
Like as a casual hockey fan at this stage of my life, even I watch one game every week or two. Go, oh God, they're really still doing this? Like, they don't adapt, they don't evolve. The guys just do what they do. The biggest problem with the power play isn't just that they're predictable, is that they don't shoot unless they make this, everything has to be a perfect sequence. It's like playing a fighting game going for the perfect combo. That's the Leafs power play. It is brutal.
Yeah. One more quick note on the Leafs. Before we have to move on. Our PK isn't great either. I know, I'm positive that Robertson is going to be in the lineup on Sunday and probably well deserved, but most likely we're scratching a penalty killer for that, and we take a lot of penalties, and our penalty killing has never been good. We don't score a lot of shorthanded goals. I know we did the other night, but that's different. So as much as I want Robertson in the lineup, taking Engvall or the Goat out is not going to be great for our penalty killing.
Yikes.
No more Leafs talk. It's a jinx. Right.
Let's move out west and talk about probably one of the more predictable series, I think, and that's Smashville and the Yotes.
Like, I don't think any series is predictable after what happened last year in the playoffs.
You know what? You're right.
Like, last year, I had a playoff pool, and I swear to God, I think one team I picked made it out. And the worst part about that was the team I picked was in Boston. So I just sucked it down.
Why are you betting against the Leafs, man? What the hell?
Because every time I bet on my team, they lose. I figured I would take a risk. Sue me.
No, you know, I totally get that. I never bet on the Patriots. Never. Yeah. It's bad mojo.
They've won six fucking Super Bowls.
I know. Bad mojo.
Yeah. They've won six Super Bowls. They've played in, what, 11 in the last 25 years? Like, yeah, I mean, God forbid.
They only lost two of the eight they were in.
No, hold on. In my lifetime, I'll go back to 85. They lost 85 Bears. They lost the 96 Packers. They lost twice the Giants.
Oh, right. I forgot they lost to the Eagles. I forgot that year.
And then they lost to the Eagles. So, like, they've lost quite a few Super Bowls in our lives.
Yeah.
So, with Arizona and Nashville, though, I think this one might be the most predictable because I think Nashville rolls over Arizona, to be honest.
I like the Coyotes. I think they're good. I don't know if they can beat Nashville. I think if you get if they got Winnipeg or if they got even Vancouver, I think they stand a better chance. Nashville's way too good for them.
This is the other team that relies solely on goaltending with two of the better goaltenders in the league. They just get hurt all the time. But the Arizona's GM just up and quitting, you know, the other day is concerning.
Why would that hurt? Can I just come off the top rope real quick? If Phoenix or Arizona or whatever the sham of a franchise even wins a game in this series, Nashville should be publicly shamed.
I don't think it's that predictable. Nashville can win. They got great players. Phil Kessel was actually probably one of their worst players this year, which he should probably just retire. Don't get me wrong, I love Phil.
He's what, 30 years old?
This whole GM quitting and this whole Taylor Hall situation, you know, I hope that these guys are thinking about hockey and not thinking about what's going to happen in the offseason. Because Arizona was probably going to make the playoffs this year, assuming that Kemper and Rantanen stayed healthy. And they don't score a lot of goals, but they're fast. And they can, but they stop a lot. But Nashville is also that team that went from not making the playoffs that was probably going to make it as well. Pekka Rinne might not be the starter. Could be the backup who started more starts in the second half of the year than Rinne. But they've got, again, top defense. Not a great line of forwards, but top defense. They got a Norris candidate on the line. I mean, they should be able to sweep this, but I think Arizona's going to get two games out of it.
Wow. Strong take. I like it.
That's a mighty spicy take.
Arizona's not quite as bad as we'd like to think they are anymore. They've really done well.
I like Arizona. I think that they're a young, kind of up-and-coming team. I don't know if they're there yet, but...
Yeah, they got young players. They drafted well for all these years. They've scouted well, although I think their GM broke a lot of rules with scouting and something like that. Yes, but they did draft well, and those players aren't quite there. But they're there to win a couple games, I think.
I don't know. I have a hard time seeing them get past Yossi and Forsberg and Matt Duchene and Johansson and like
the key for them is going to be the speed. You know, guys like Duchene and even Yossi to an extent, they're older, they're slowed down a bit. Forsberg even, you know, is slowed down a little bit, but he's my go-to fantasy hockey 14th overall draft every time. Like, if that guy's available in the second or third round, I'm taking him.
I mean, and Saros, like you mentioned, was...
Saros was, yeah.
He was pretty spectacular throughout all of it. So
if you look at the numbers for Rantanen and Kemper, who usually split the starts, they are no joke. They just got to stay healthy.
I don't know. I don't know if I give Arizona two games, but I think they're competitive.
I think it'll be more competitive. Maybe they don't win any, but I don't think they're going to be losing 7-0.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a good series there, and I think it's going to be rough.
What do you guys think about Vancouver, Minnesota? I know that, Justin, you were a little kind of iffy on this series. I've got the Canucks going through. They're young and fast. Minnesota, yeah. I don't remember much about all year. They've been kind of unspectacular most of the season.
They had a funny season story, which they fired their coach, Boudreau.
Yep.
But Boudreaux was on a 5-game winning streak at the time, and they snuck into a wild card spot, and then Guerin fired him. So it was kind of weird. So they did bring themselves up to the point where they were challenging for a wild card spot, but I'm worried because they're an older team and they've just had 4 months off. You know, is Eric Staal going to be able to dial it up? Can Dubnyk actually still save the puck? Whereas Vancouver's a lot younger, and it's easier to get those young legs moving more so than it is for the 35 and up guys.
Where are you feeling on vets versus rookies, Steve, or young guys? I won't say rookies, but young guys.
In the playoffs, I always take veterans. It's just the way it is. The NHL is that I think the one game where like being older can, I don't want to say old, but older can is more of a benefit than a hindrance. I find young hockey players just make too many mistakes.
You know, Steve, normally I'd agree with you there if we didn't just have 4 months off.
No, that's true. But I think the old guys in 4 months also heal up. You know what I mean? Like,
true. That's true.
You do like you can argue that either way, and I think both of us would be right. You could argue, well, the young guys will get moving faster; they need less warm up time, and I would agree with that. And I think everyone's going to make more mistakes, so that kind of evens up the playing field. But I think good veteran teams that have done it before, will always conquer young teams. So I think even though it's not the same, but if we go back a couple years ago to like the Washington-Toronto first round playoff series, that was a grizzled Washington veteran team, and that was a very young upstart Leafs team. And while the Leafs were definitely faster and definitely could skate circles around them, Washington just knew how to play and just beat the brakes off of us. Like there was nothing we could do. So that's where my logic comes from. But like I definitely agree with you in the sense that like it can definitely, this scenario can definitely lead younger, but me personally, through experience, I always choose veterans, and that's what I was thinking.
I've been going back and forth on it because, so my mind initially goes, well, the young guys get going quicker.
Yeah.
So the thought of like the physical side of the game, they get going quicker, but the vets, I think, have more mental wherewithal to be able to get in the game and understand the like scenarios. A little better than the younger guys, like the guys who've been playing. Like, you know, you're talking about Eric Staal. Well, Eric Staal's got miles. The guy is not afraid and doesn't have to be worried about knowing where he has to be on the ice and understanding a situation.
Yeah, that's very true.
Whereas you can see young guys maybe making more of those mental mistakes, like making a silly pinch when they don't need to.
Oh, yeah. God. Are we still talking about the Leafs or no?
Dion Phaneuf wasn't young when he made those pitches. What are you talking about?
I just remember back, like, I don't, this was, I think this is the Washington series again. I'm sorry to keep beating this like a dead horse, but I think it was Marner that got caught by Ovechkin. I think Marner skated them back down and took the breakaway from him. And I thought like, maybe we can win this series. And then Washington proceeded to show me exactly why we were never going to win that series.
Yeah.
But, young guys can make up for positioning mistakes with speed generally, which is why you can't discount them, is what I'm really trying to get at, but I got really long-winded about it.
There's two big X factors for Vancouver who will win this. I believe Vancouver wins this series, it's based upon Pettersson and Markstrom, who was having his career year, and I knew was always going to turn out to be a good goalie.
Yeah, Markstrom's good. I like Besser. I like Pettersson.
Yeah,
I think they're a good team. I think that they've got lots of skill and they're young and they're ready. Markstrom playing well is definitely the key, though.
It's going to be interesting to see if Quinn Hughes can keep up his momentum from what he was doing previously, because that kid is unreal.
Yeah, he's going to be something special.
Yeah, I don't know if he wins the Calder this year, but you know, you pick between Kim and Makar, it's just a flip of a coin, really. They're both equally as great.
Yeah, I agree. The only real, I guess, rivalry match in this kind of play-in round, the Flames and Jets, both were dangerously close to making the playoffs anyway. Flames finished 8, Jets finished 9.
Both teams were like 1 point.
Lots of dummy sticks here or what?
Both of these teams were 1 point away from being first in the division at the end of the day. That's the worst part. That was the worst part about the West is you lose 2 games and you're 9th, but you win 1 game and you're first. Jets have Hellebuck, who might win the Vezina. Jets defense, I can't name you anybody on their defense anymore. They went from having the best defense to nobody. they got leadership. They got Scheifele. Calgary's got their line. Calgary's also got good defense, but they're going to struggle without Travis Hamonic on that blue line.
Yeah. Is there any... I don't know. Steve, who are you taking out of Winnipeg and Calgary?
This is a tough one to pick a winner from.
I know.
I just feel like... I feel like Winnipeg's bigger.
Yeah, you're right there.
I feel like Winnipeg is the pick because they are bigger. It's not because I think they're... I don't know.
I pick Winnipeg because of Laine. Laine and Hellebuck.
I think Laine is going to be invisible like he has been the last 2 years, but that's just me. Yeah.
Or he'll fire. Your man got drafted behind Austin Matthews, so
he'll score six goals in his first game and then doesn't score again until, you know, halfway through next season.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
He's streaky. I like Laine. He's very streaky. He does have a shot. My X factor here is also leaning towards Winnipeg. It's not quite Hellebuck. It's more of how Scheifele and Wheeler line up together. I think they can out-rough Calgary and get in those gritty zones and score.
They just need to make Calgary mistakes.
Yeah, and Goudreau's had an off-season this year. I can't imagine he's going to pick it back up, so...
Yeah. The last series in the West, Edmonton and Chicago. And this one here is probably one of the more interesting out of the play-ins because you've got a lot of vets on that Blackhawks team.
Yeah.
And guys who have done it before, even though they weren't a very good team. They're in the same spot Montreal is in that they didn't really belong in the playoffs. But are you really going to bet against Kane and Taves?
I'll bet against Kane in this juncture, but I won't bet against Kane under any circumstances.
Yeah, I'm not betting against Kane in any circumstances. I really think Edmonton will pull this off.
Yeah, but Edmonton's my pick, but...
If Chicago comes out and plays like Chicago can and they get the goaltending, which I'm not sure if Crawford is going to be ready to play. I know he had COVID, and I think he's with the team. But I have no idea who their backup is since they traded Leonard, so...
Yeah. Well, I don't think they were planning to play.
No, they definitely weren't.
This is a lot of the problem.
Yeah.
When you were coming up to a trade deadline and you were offloading guys, you weren't thinking to yourself, "All right, well, we're definitely going to be playing, so we need to make sure that we're ready." You know, you're trading guys for assets at that point, and then they're like, "By the way, you're the 12th team on the new format, so congrats."
Yeah. We've seen Patrick Kane score very great goals at the right time, but goal scoring wise, Chicago does suffer. I know they have the rookie this year, trying to find his name, and I will butcher it the best I can. And he matches up really good, on the line with Strom. I know DeBrincat, you know, good players, but Mick Jesus, Draisaitl, and they don't play together. People think they play together when they really don't. On the power play occasionally, but they center their own lines, and we can't tell you. Cassian plays with McDavid. I think Neil plays with Draisaitl. That's
really fucking good. Let's just move on. Like, they're both excellent fucking hockey players. They have two once-in-a-generation hockey players. Like, it's gross, but the rest of the team sucks. So,
yeah, I mean, I like Darnell Nurse on the blue line. He's good. Sucks. I mean, Andrew Shaw's not great, but he did get traded there. He could have been on there for Chicago, and the leadership also helps, even though they got plenty of it. But it's going to come down to Mike Smith, assuming he's going to be the starter and not what's his name? Wait, Mike Smith does play for Edmonton and not Calgary now, right?
Yeah, he plays for Edmonton.
Yeah, what's the other – Koskinen.
Koskinen is the other goalie.
Yeah, and they kind of go back and forth, and you know, Koskinen wasn't an NHL goalie until their foolish old GM signed him to that contract.
Yeah.
But again, Corey Crawford's not the same guy he used to be either. So it's going to be how many goals can each team score, and I think Edmonton will be able to hold Kane enough. But Edmonton's been the joke of the league forever, other than Buffalo and Ottawa. So maybe they lose.
Koskinen had 38 games played. He started in 34 of them, and he had a .275 goals against. He's not horrible.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Save percentage was 917, so it's meh.
That's about average, give or take, yeah. But the only thing that would piss people off more than Montreal winning that draft pick would be the Oilers losing and winning that draft pick.
Can you imagine the backlash?
Can you not make that joke? Because that'll probably end up happening.
Yeah, that would just be awful.
Happens.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously we're all pretty excited. Puck's coming back. I want to get you out of here on two teams out of the East, two out of the West, and then a Stanley Cup winner. Let's see some predictions. Steve, because you don't care who wins the Calder. You don't care who wins the Hart.
I don't even know who got these awards. I think we established that earlier. So, yeah.
Who do you got coming out of the East? Who do you got coming out of the West? And who's your Stanley Cup pick?
I got Washington and St. Louis, and I got Washington winning it again. Because I just want to see Ovechkin. I just want to see Ovechkin go like he did last time. Although I will not discount that, it's going to be a tough series. I think those are the two best teams in these playoffs. I think Boston's probably the second best team, but Boston just never seems to be able to get over the real hump. So they kind of got a cakewalk last year in the East after us, as they always do after us. I hate the
Bruins. Yeah.
I hope the Bruins lose their first round matchup. Actually, if Marchand can tear his ACL and I don't know, the other guy. What's the guy? Pasternak? Pasternak can maybe go head first into a post at 80 kilometers an hour. I wish no ill will on Bergeron, though. I think I love that guy. So I hope he has a long, healthy, flourishing career. But the other two, they can have career-ending injuries. I'm okay with that. And maybe Chara finally gets put down. Who knows? But yeah, no, I'm taking the Blues and I'm taking the Caps.
All right, Justin, you're up. You're East-West and your Cup winner.
It's hard to follow when someone just wishes career-ending injuries on two people, but
you know me, trying to give the hot take. I don't mean any of that, by the way. I'm just being facetious.
Yeah, I know. I'm picking with my heart in the East. Screw it. Your listeners can laugh at me and call me an idiot. They can at me on Twitter. I'm taking the Leafs in the East.
Woo!
Just deal with it.
Sorry. Keep going.
I'm taking the underdog of Dallas in the West. Why not? Anything can happen this year. COVID Cup, baby.
And then are you taking Toronto for the cup?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was obvious. Sorry.
By the way, when Toronto wins the cup, the first person that says the word asterisk is getting punched in their mouth. That's all.
If anybody else wins the cup, they deserve an asterisk. By
it. Oh, absolutely. Because we can win. Yeah, that's an asterisk. Yeah, absolutely. Only when my team win is there no asterisks involved.
What are you, a Patriots fan? Get out of here.
I mean, there's no asterisks on your Super Bowls as far as I'm concerned. They were all equally cheated on, so it's all good.
I'm going to ignore that. I am taking Washington out of the East as well. I think that they're probably still the team to beat. They're really good.
And they're well rested. They're very well.
Out of the West, I am going to take McJesus.
Hot take alert. The Oilers?
And I'll tell you why. I think that they're – listen, they're due. They've had they've had way too many first-round picks to not get there, and it's just unreal. And then I have Washington taking the cup.
I agree with Edmonton. They are due. I just see them screwing it up. But with my two picks, just a funny story. I'm in a bracket pool with some friends, and we drafted yesterday, and I ended up getting Dallas and the Leafs. So I'm picking that on the hopes of winning the $200 pool.
Amazing.
I mean, if you get that, the $200 is probably the least of your fucking concerns.
Oh, yeah. If the Leafs win the cup, I'm going to jail for 4 to 6 months. No questions asked.
Don't worry. You'll only serve two with COVID. You'll be fine.
Yeah. My pants are coming off and I'm running up the street.
All right, Justin, you want people to add you on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle? Where can the people find you?
Oh, no, I don't really use Twitter. If you want to find me.
Let's do it.
Okay, you can find me at MorbidENT. But if you really want to get my attention, hit me up on my Facebook page, Morbid Entertainment. That's where you'll find me, and that's where I like to argue on social media.
And Steve, as always, at SteveSteele23.
At SteveSteele23 on Twitter, at SteveSteele23 on Instagram. I don't use Facebook that much because I'm not 85 years old, but I will be on there. I don't care if you think masks are conspiracy. And if you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, you're not a scientist. You're just a fucking idiot. There you go.
Whoa.
Let's end on that.
What one comment on Joe Rogan? He had my boy Post on there, Post Malone, yesterday.
Post Malone. Post Malone is not your boy. Stop it. You just like to.
They were both on mushrooms. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't listen to 3 hours of that shit though. You're like 10 minutes and you're done.
Sorry, all right, that got worth, yeah, but I believe it got at Rogan in there.
Thanks, guys. We'll be
Thank
talking.
You. Later. Yeah.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. I'd like to thank Justin Murphy for giving us a hand to break down the matchups and for all of the fun and spice. We always appreciate him coming on. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us on the socials. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And again, if you can support this podcast, head over to patreon.com. Again, we're giving away Jack Schwartz draft guide for fantasy football for any of the tiers. It's as low as $2 a month. You can sign up for any of the tiers and support this podcast. We greatly appreciate it. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, or you're looking for something to get back into, don't forget to check out Down the Pub Podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, our friend Anthony Abbott puts together a great show over there, and it's definitely worth checking out. Anthony and Chris do fantastic work, and if you're into football, and that's the European kind with your feet, you definitely need to be checking them out. It has been an actual interesting week in sports, guys. We are back. We did it. Thank you so much for listening. Let's do it again next week. Thank you.